In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. As you heard the scripture today from the book of John, chapter 14, you notice the first verse that we heard today is, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." So if you look at this verse on the surface, it may appear to be such like a great blessing. But when you consider that at this moment, the Lord Jesus himself was on the eve of his death, and if somebody is going through some hard time, he will never be able to stand up and encourage someone and tell him not to be troubled. You are going to die tomorrow, so how can you give that courage to somebody else? That's the difference between God and godly people and somebody else. Those who lose hope. But in today's scripture, God talks about very important things that all of us will really need. And I will summarize it in just a couple of points. Number one, there is hope for tomorrow. And number two, there is help for today. You heard the continuation of the scripture that says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you." God has given us hope that tomorrow we will find a heavenly home. He is telling us about this prepared home for prepared people. It is not for anyone. It is for the chosen ones. Those chosen people are you. That's the great hope for us. We have been called after his name. We are his children. We are Christian. We are the ones that we are called to inherit that place with him and be with him forever. And the beauty of that place, we have been talking about this in the last many Fridays. And let me just read one part, just one little part from the book of Revelation, chapter 2 and 1. So you really get to know how beautiful it is. No matter what you go through here on earth, it means absolutely nothing to heaven. In Revelation chapter 21, it said, "And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." And then it continues and says, "But there shall be by no means anyone enter into it that defiles it, or causes an abomination or lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life." Meaning you who is called after his name, the Christian person who will be right there with God forever. As much as you try, you cannot really describe this glorious place. You cannot describe heaven. Even after you heard this beautiful verse, it's still not enough. And even St. Paul said something very, very good actually in the first epistle of Corinthians chapter 2. And he said, "But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him." No matter how much we can describe heaven and the beauty of heaven, it really is not as much as when you really see it, live it, and enjoy it. Even St. Paul, you know, who was taken to paradise in the second book of Corinthians, chapter 12, he said, "I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in body, I don't know, or whether out of the body, I do not know. God knows, such a one was caught up to the third heaven. And I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows how he was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter." He could not even express it. He did not tell us exactly how wonderful paradise is. When you see something so good, you can't tell. You lose words to express what you have seen. Like you wish to show somebody how much you love him or love her, you can't. So the word "I love you" would be enough. But not really enough. If you think truthfully, it is not enough to express the great love that overwhelms you, that fills your heart. So the easiest way is "I love you," for example. But there is so much behind and beyond the word I love you. God did the same. He shows us very little from the many, many great things that await us in heaven. It also made St. Paul say in the book of Philippians, chapter 1, "For I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better." It's far better to be with Christ. Much, much better. I can't tell you how good it is. You enjoy it, you feel it, you see it, you live it, and you can't find the words to express that great feeling. But the most important thing is, when we talk about heaven, is that we will be with God. That's number one. We will be with God, and it should be nothing equal. Of course, there is more, but number one, the most important one, is that you will be with God. You hear about God, you come here to church and you pray and fast and all of that to please God, and one day you'll be with Him. Now you are with Him face to face, and you talk to Him as I talk to you. And we sit together and talk like a son and father forever. There is no time limits. There is nobody that can deprive me from that joy. There is no illness or sickness. There is no tiredness. Nothing will keep me away from God. And that's why God today in the scripture also gives us a heavenly hope. We have a heavenly home, and He also gives us a heavenly hope. It says in the scripture today, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." The little word "may" is just something like a little warning here. Meaning it's ready for every one of us, but some of us could lose it. That's where we have to be careful and get ready. You have to prepare yourself to be with God forever. Not to let anything will take you away from God. Many times we lose that hope, or we get weak in our faith, where we look around and people dress in some way or eat or drink some other stuff that we should not do, or look different in their dress, in their eating habits, in their life, in their marriage. And we start to be affected by them and say, "Everybody does it. That doesn't mean anything to me. I don't care about everybody. I am different. I am God's son and daughter. I have a special treatment. I am a royal family," as I have always said. It should be always in your heart that you are a royal family. You are a son and daughter of the Most High, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There's something else that St. Paul said in the first epistle of Corinthians chapter 15 that I would like to share with you. And he said, "Behold, I tell you a mystery." A mystery. What is it? "We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." If you look at this, you wonder, what is it? We are talking about what? The rapture, the last day when God comes. We will get ready to meet God in the clouds, and we'll be with Him forever. Okay? What else He's saying here? "Do not be afraid from death." It means nothing. Death, absolutely nothing. It should be good news for us. That corruptible body will change into the incorruptible. We'll be happy and joyful and be with God forever. I will never fear death. Because when I die, I know two things. As I mentioned, number one, I will be with God. Number two, and I spoke the day before yesterday, on Friday, I read a couple of pieces of information from the book of Contemplation and Resurrection by His Holiness Pope Shenouda. When he said, it is not fair and it would be unjust from God if He would separate two people who love each other on earth. It is unfair, but God is fair and just, and that's why in heaven, those who love each other on earth will always be together forever in heaven. God will never separate, for example, a husband and wife who love each other and they start to enjoy the good love and life here on earth. God will never separate those two. It will be very painful that I love my wife and go up in heaven and I can't find her. Or she'll be somewhere else. And everybody takes the parable, when the Pharisees came to ask God about this woman who married to someone and he died, then she married to his brother and he died, then the second, the third, until the seventh. And then they all went to heaven and they asked the question, to whom shall she become a wife? God told all of them, you are really ignorant of the books, because in heaven they do not get married, it will be given in marriage. And everybody said, here it is, we'll be different and separate from each other in heaven. I tell you, you have completely misunderstood the message. They were asking him a question about the marriage sexual relationship that does not exist in heaven, because we'll be resurrected by the glorious body, spiritual body, that does not need to sleep or need to drink or get tired or get married or have the children. Thank God, no more. But the love will continue. You start here on earth, you eat the appetizer here on earth, and you continue enjoying it to the end. So I hope that every husband and wife here today to take it seriously. If you really wish to continue with your spouse forever, forever, start show that love right here, right now. Even dads and moms and the children, we should show love to each other. What are you waiting for to tell your wife, I love you, or your husband, I love you, or your children, I love you, or the children tell their father, I love you? How much does it cost you? Does it really cost millions of dollars? If it costs, I will forgive you for this. I understand, you have a good excuse. But it costs nothing to show and express your love to everybody. And if you remember, even during the Pascha week, I myself told you as my own children, I really honestly, from the bottom of my heart, I love each and every one of you completely, fully. I had nothing against anyone. And I loved everyone, young and old, with all love and respect. Because I know one day I will be in heaven, inshallah, that's my hope, that I will be praying to every one of you. You know, the priest continues the service even when he goes to heaven. He does not stop. If you want to know that, read Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 1, where God said, if Moses and Samuel stand before me for the sake of this people, I will not listen to them. God was angry at the Israelites. But the point from this verse is, Moses and Samuel still stand before God all the time, asking for every one of the Israelites. Any priest or a prophet, that's his job on earth and in heaven. You also know that the name of a priest is Presbyteros. Presbyteros means intercessor. Intercessor, that's why he stands right here between God and the congregation. And all the time, remember, O Lord, remember, O Lord, remember, O Lord. He's an intercessor praying for his congregation and his people. Also, this is our hope for tomorrow, but how about today? There is help for today. We continue reading the scripture and it says, and where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on you know him and have seen him. Here's a big part about our dogma, our doctrine that the Lord himself is God. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father and it is sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me. The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe in me for the sake of the works themselves, the miracles that I did. I did not stop for a moment to help everybody. I did not see a sick man that I did not heal. I did not see a dead man that I did not raise. I did not see anyone in need whom I did not help and give. And I did not see anything wrong that I did not correct. And if you remember, we talked many times, like during the judgment of the Lord, when he stood before the council of Sanhedrin and Pilate, he has always been silent. But he only spoke to prove like something about his divinity, or something is wrong and corrected. Like, you are the king of the Jews, he said, you say that I am. I didn't say, I do not belong to anyone, I belong to everybody, I am the king of everyone. If I said I am the king of the Jews, everybody, like Egyptians, as I mentioned on Friday, will come and say, he is not our king, he is the king of the Jews. That's why he said, you said that I am, I did not. My kingdom is not from this earth, it's not from here. My kingdom is up in heaven. That's why I am a king, acknowledging that I am a king, but I have a different kingdom. My kingdom is the royal spiritual kingdom, the heavenly kingdom. And every one of my children will be my royal family. And I came here to die on the cross because of one reason. One and only one reason. What is it, Lord? It said in the book of John chapter 3, in verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So you have the hope for today to believe in him and trust in him. How many times do we stand up to pray and we consider the prayer as if we're, okay God, you know, here is what I need and finished. Are we serious in our prayer that you believe that God will give you what you ask for? Are you serious and have a strong belief that God will grant you your wish, your success, your good marriage, and whatever you ask for? Or just to pray and, okay God, I have to pray, Abuna told me to pray the Agbaya, so I have to read, let's give thanks to the beneficent merciful God and the Father. No, it is not. It is the relationship. And let me ask you a truthful question. What happened if, let's say, my husband and wife, and the husband come to the wife, say, I love you, and that's it, and leave? How would she feel? Let's be honest here. There is no real love. It's just a word, you want to say it and goodbye and see you later. That's not true love. God expressed his love by dying on the cross for us. And if you read the Bible carefully, even from the Old Testament, every word in the Bible, it said, and it says until today and forever, I love you so much and I came to die for you. So the whole Bible, if you read it carefully and really understand it, it is a love expression from God to his children, to every one of us. Even if you look at the pain and suffering crucifixion, it's still a great love. Since today is the Mother's Day, and I would like to extend my appreciation to all the moms here today, happy Mother's Day. Let me tell you a story about mothers. There was a mom, and she was sitting with her daughter. She was about 9 years old. And she was really good, loving mom. And she went, tried to hug her daughter and tell her how much I love her. And the daughter said, you know, mom, I love you so much, but I really, please forgive me. I don't want to sit on this side, the right-hand side. So she told her, why not, Habibi? What's wrong? At least because you have the burn, there is a big burn in her face, and the skin tone looks so bad from the burn and the hair. And she said, let me tell you now, since you asked, when you were a baby, I left you for a moment, the power gone off, and I have to light a candle beside you, and you were crying, and I went to get you something to feed you, the milk. And in a moment I went to the kitchen and I came back, I found the candle fell on the pillow and started burning and was very close to you. I ran quickly to catch you, and all of a sudden the fire like went up so high and came in my face. The burn, because I wanted to protect you. That moment when the daughter heard it, she said, mom, I love you so much. And she started to kiss the right side that she did not want to sit by. She saw the pain, and that burn in her face was an expression of love. The mom, out of her love, wanted to save this little one. And I'm sure you also read the story in the magazine of St. John. very wonderful story. One time there was few babies in the hospital crying so hard, and many of them start to cry and nobody is able to sleep and they got tired. They tried to get many good music in this room, the nursing room, and could not help. They were still crying. They tried to get many ways to calm down the children and did not stop crying. Then finally one said, "I have a good solution for you." So all what he did, he recorded the heartbeat of a mom and he started to have it on the sound system in this room. And when the children start to hear the sound of the heartbeat, everybody start calming down. See, the heart is the key, the mother. And that's why we call the mother, each mother here to be like the church, the mother of all believers. We have hope tomorrow, we have help today. I wish we take it seriously from our heart. And remember from what we heard in summary, if you are asking about how to be saved, remember that God is the way. If you want to know how to be sure, remember that He is the truth. And if you wish to ask yourself, how can I be satisfied, remember that He is the life. And glory be to God now and forever. Amen.